Welcome to the Round 12 Supercoach Coach Podcast. This week we're joined again by Faz, 2 weeks in a row. Welcome back, Faz.
G'day, mate. Good to be here.
And we've got a special guest on the show making his debut appearance. I'm just going to cue up a song.
Can you hear anything? I can't hear anything.
I can't hear anything either. I was wondering if you wanted me to sing, Marcus.
It's probably playing in your headphones right
no,
now.
No, it's only playing for me. Damn it.
Just imagine the Fitzroy theme song.
Yeah, okay. Well, so the Fitzroy theme song just played for apparently no one except for me. I think it would have come across in the recording. So that's your intro. Welcome to the show, Fitzroy Gorillas.
Thanks, Marcus. How you going, Faz? Good to be here.
Our listeners would know that a couple of weeks ago you took out the number one prize overall, and so this is part of your extended glory lap. Good to have you on, mate.
Been a long time listener to the podcast, and really happy to be on, and definitely a welcome surprise, I guess, to take out the weekly winner.
And so you doubled your winnings too as a Supercoach Plus member. So happy days. And hopefully that check's hitting your bank account from the people at KFC shortly.
Oh, my partner used to have a team name called $50,000 for Red Shoes. So I might be able to spend $2,000 of that. But she doesn't have a team anymore. So I'm going to try to claim it on something else.
Good to have you on for the first time. And our community members, any long time members of the forum of the Supercoach Coach community would know you because you've been around our traps for a while, always around for some banter, for some advice, and as I mentioned on the show when you were on, it was really great to have such a entrenched community member take a win, which is awesome. Do you want to give the crowd a bit of a background behind your Supercoach CV?
Yeah, look, I think I started playing in about 2009. 2010 was when I really got into it, back in the days of 20 trades, I think, and Tom Rockliffe and James Podsiadly and Mickey Barlow being, you know, the key rookies that year. Been on the forum for pretty much all that time and listened to the podcast. I found it really pretty much essential listening, you know, not only for building a good team, but just the entertainment basis. It's really helped me to pick up some tips and ideas and stay on top of the best selections over the years. I haven't had the best rankings the last couple of years. This year I'm doing a bit better, so that's the main thing.
You've got a pretty high bar. So, no, it's great. Very good to see you take out the win. We normally start each week with a bit of an update, so I'm sorry you don't get to come on off your glorious W, and you're going to have to give us an update off round 11. But why don't I throw to yourself to kick us off for a round 11 update? How's the round for you?
Look, not that great. I mean, I got 2067, and I was beaten by you in the Aces League, I think, after you beat me the previous week in the Kings League. So I know you got a pretty big score last week. I had a few low scores on ground, just with Highmore, pretty average week, and some of those other low ones. I had Grundy as my captain, but still good to have gone over 2,000 every round this year. So I think that's the sort of benchmark I like to set, at least to get over 2,000 every week, and yeah, no nice. Donuts.
Faz, why don't we throw to yourself next? How was your round 11?
Yeah, did all right this week. Unfortunately, I came up against you in a different league. Both Fitzroy and myself had losses in those league matchups. It was a 22-35 for me this week. Favourite score would be Jack Steele for me because I just traded him in this week. So 154 on debut in the team. For my least favourite score, I think I'll go with another backline player, Caleb Daniel for me, 61 points. It's been a very up and down season for Caleb. Seemed to find a fair bit of the pill on Friday night, but a few real mares of kicks that were very costly for his score. Hopefully he's less of a unique pick with how cheap he was a few weeks ago, so I wasn't the only one riding out that poor score. We now get into, some would say, the most fun or the least fun part of the year with the buys coming up, but I should probably pass the baton on. It's another week in a row, Marcus, where you get to have a bit of a celebration.
Quite a few weeks in a row on fire now. So 2381, and I'm now up to 1535 as a season rank. Super happy with that off the back of a good week last week. And considering I don't have McRae, don't have Gorn, had Flynn on field instead. The team pulled its weight. Favourite scores, probably Cripps 133. Bloody finally. Must see one of the few suckers still holding on to him. The other one that gets a shout out, maybe even my number one for the week, Isaac Heaney with 128. I brought him in a couple of weeks ago, and so that was definitely a risk at 340, but a 128 was awesome. Least favorite score from the week was Ridley's 64. In terms of our Patreon group, top scorer for the week was Simon's team, Goods United, with 24-19. I think there were five patrons who beat my score from the weekend. So lots of good scores going around in the Patreon community. Our leader overall for the Patreon group is Roger's team, Charlie Kirkshow, taking the lead with his score of 24-13 from the weekend, pushing him up to 207th overall. In terms of top score in our Supercoach Coach public group, Mark's team, MRYP, scored 25-44 for the week, which was the third highest score for the round. So lots of big scores in the Supercoach Coach community. Hopefully people moving up the overall league stakes as a result. All right, that's enough in terms of an update. We'll start off first with a question from Jack the Alien, or at Benno13. What's the secret to Fitzroy Gorilla's success? You mentioned you might actually know this gentleman, Fitzroy.
I do. Good old Jack the Alien. He's a big fan of his Freddo Frogs. But, you know, to really succeed at Supercoach, just in moderation, Benno. In all seriousness, I actually think that probably sticking to some of the basic principles of Supercoach, like Marcus, you've talked about the upgrade cadence. Like, I don't think my 2400, whatever score it was like a massive score compared to some of the scores that might take out the weekly. But I might have just been like one trade ahead of people. The other thing is, too, probably we all like to have a good unique player here or there, but I suppose trying not to differ too far from, you know, what the mean is, I guess. Overall, listening to a podcast and maybe being on top of some of those ideas and just following some of those key principles probably just puts you in a position where something good can happen at some point in time. Luck goes your way, I guess.
Is there anything that you gravitate toward that makes your teams a bit unique to you?
I think probably I've taken a few more risks on different types of rookies over the years, maybe ones that aren't as popular. Sometimes that's paid off quite well. And I guess they might not be huge wins, but having someone like Jackson Pryor, who I had, he probably turned out to be a low percentage pick in terms of popularity. But, you know, he's a helpful player over the duration that I've had him in. I think he only had one sort of really poor score, which was the previous week. I probably do have to admit to a bit of a liking of Brisbane Lions players. I mean, in the draft league, I think my team is pretty much all Brisbane Lions players. So it was good on this week because I pulled off a win.
Yeah, no, I definitely have a bias for Geelong players, so you're not alone.
I think there's a fair bit of love for Essendon players amongst the people on the forum.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Let's get on to the next question then. This one's from Daniel Maserotti, one of our patrons, and he's asking what we do with Grundy, who's out now for, I think, 2 to 3 weeks is the news coming back from the scans. Had his neck pulled backwards in a ruck contest that was a bit unfortunate on the weekend against Geelong, and unfortunately happening during the buys as well. So it's good in the sense that he's covered with a best 18, but it's also not particularly good in terms of contributing to potential donuts, depending on how adequate cover is. So it's definitely a tricky period to be dealing with an injured premium. In seasons past, we've recommended dealing with injuries before embarking on the buys. But when you're talking, you know, one of the two premier ruckmen, things do change a little bit. Him being out for 2 to 3 weeks and Collingwood having the round 14 bye means that he's almost certainly going to miss until the byes, and post the byes, that would have been, you know, 4 elapsed weeks to come back for round 15. So it's a reasonably safe assumption that he's essentially missing 2 real weeks and then missing his normal bye week. Any thoughts, Fitzroy, in terms of how you might deal with Grundy, whether or not you're likely to try and hold him, or do you see this as an opportunity to get a leg up and score some points with a bit of a side swap?
Yeah, look, I'm pretty much set to keeping Grundy, I think, unless, of course, they come out in the next couple of days and say it's going to be, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or something. I think the best 18 helps. The other aspect at the moment is we've got a few cheap rucks that we can go to. Like, people might still have Flynn, I do. There's also the possibility of going to Reeves after his bye. I think the other thing, though, too, is that there's not really a standout gun to go to. I was having a bit of a look at it. You know, if you really wanted to make a move on someone like Goldstein, who has his bye in the first week, you could try something like that. But he's not really killing it. He's still getting some average scores. You know, Nathan Nui might be another one, but, you know, he has his injury concerns as well, potentially. Riley O'Brien seems like he's solid, but not going to be up at the upper echelon of those scores. So I think that the fact that Grundy also has one of those weeks where it's a bye, I'm going to keep him, I think. Also, previously in the year, I have traded out some players like Neil, Dunkley, Phillips and Cripps for various reasons, injury or underperformance. So I think there's only so many of those trades you can make before you have to go, look, I'm going to have to ride with some injuries throughout the year. And Grundy's probably one for me.
Faz, you're a Grundy Gorn owner as well. Are you sort of thinking similar?
Also a Grundy Gorn owner and also thinking along very similar lines. I think Fitzroy laid out all the points there. The lack of a good alternative, you know, maybe if you were a non-Gorn owner that had Grundy, then you'd be more tempted to pull the sideways trade there. Another factor is just that the other players, as well as being probably a good 10 points per game below Grundy in terms of average, his price has come down a little bit. So, you know, that would be one of the temptations is, you know, trading out Grundy, to essentially downgrading him to somebody else and then being able to use that cash over the buys. Then you can think about it as, you know, not just the points that you're getting from doing the Grundy trade, but also where you can put that money to good use over the buys. But because I'd be tempted to go for a guy like Nick Nat, 50K is not enough value to be generating there to make that trade worthwhile.
Yeah, I think the fact that Gorn Grundy owners will have coverage with either Flynn or Reeves, potentially even Jones this week. It means that you're really only holding for 1 week of pain. Round 14, you would have been on the bye anyway. And next week, if you have Gorn and Reeves, you get a free hit at another ruckman score, and you really only sacrifice the difference between a premium and whoever your, you know, 18th score is potentially. So I do really sort of agree for owners of Gorn and Grundy where you're both coming from. Owners with a Flynn, like myself, still at R2, will probably have a slightly different equation because I don't have Max Gorn. And so I do think people with Grundy-Flynn combinations, you may be more in a situation where you might be looking at potentially even Grundy to Gorn as a potential attractive side swap. You're very much doing it for short-term point generation. So if you have quite a lot of trades and you have Flynn at R2 with Grundy at R1, or you have a similar combination where, you know, Grundy isn't well covered, then I don't mind doing the trade this week to potentially move him on. I know I'm thinking about it this week. Does that make sense to either of you gents, or am I being a bit too short-term focused?
Yeah, I think it can also come down to how many trades you've got left and how you've used them so far as well. And for me, yeah, I've got Gorn, so I feel like I can probably just sit with where I'm at. And even if I need to reassess after the bye, I've still got that opportunity, I hope, without it having burnt me too much in those couple of weeks.
The next question that we're going to go to is one from Tony Garmer on Facebook, asking with the likely downgrade options on the horizon, whether or not it's an option to, as he puts it, do the cardinal sin and go early on a rookie. He has 21 playing this round, but only 16 next week. So looking at getting two players in for next week instead. So a few tempting options in terms of rookies in Bianco, Coleman Jones and Reeves. Faz, what do you reckon about going early on a rookie, and is it easier to do so during the bye periods versus other times in the year, or is that even riskier than normal?
Geez, that's a tough one. It is riskier, I'd say, than normal, just because over the next few weeks we are going to be very reliant on our rookies playing. Every team's going to be a bit different over the byes, but I know that I'm fairly strapped come rounds 13 and 14. It's really going to be touch and go whether I get 18 on the park for both rounds. There is a big risk that if I bring in a rookie this week who gets dropped, I could spell a donut down the track. But in saying that, I think that all three of the guys that you mentioned, Ned Reeves, Coleman Jones, and Bianco, are all very attractive trade-ins this week. You know, Bianco is one that we've been watching, I think, for a few years now. I remember him being in some draft teams at the beginning of last year, and we were just waiting for his debut. He just looked very composed. I think aerobically he's probably not quite there, but just has the footy smarts. And with where Collingwood are sitting right now, they might be willing to put some extra games into him. Coleman Jones is another one who's got a pretty safe spot on the side, I think, with Tom Lynch out for at least, I think it's sort of 6 to 8 weeks with his current injury. I think that they're going to put games into Coleman Jones. And then Ned Reeves, I think I mentioned earlier, he picked a bit of a shoulder knock, but if that's okay, I think he's a reasonable prospect of staying in. I think these three particular ones all look pretty good. And in my circumstances, what I've done is sort of mapped out what my trades are going to look like across the 3 weeks. Of course, that's in an ideal world and injuries and things could interrupt those plans. But to get all the upgrades that I want to get done over the buy period, I'm going to need to generate some value this week. And that's going to require me to go early on at least one of these rookies, potentially two. I think Reeves and Bianco both likely to come into my side this week.
How about you, Fitzroy? Do you see yourself going early on any of these players, or are you trying to only bring in boys on the bubble?
I'm probably going to sit on the fence with it, because I think probably with a couple of them, I will wait until they get selected for their third game, mainly so that I can ensure that I feel enough players each week. My middle buy is the one that I have most concern about, so round 13. So I'm probably going to look at bringing in Bianco this week. Like, he got 80-odd, and I think he looked pretty good from all accounts. So you would imagine he's probably going to be good to play the next 2 weeks leading up to the bye. Buckley seems to be favouring some of those young blokes and giving them a run at the moment. So I'm probably happy to take the risk on that one. Reeves, I'll wait until round 13, bring him in. And then Coleman Jones in round 14, I think that's sort of my plan. But going early on Bianco probably just allows me to bring in some premiums in round 13 as well, just by bringing in a little bit of cash off of the trade-in.
Pretty much echo those sentiments exactly. We had a question from Yort50 or at Troy Danaher from Twitter asking if we were to go early on any one of these rookies, which did we think would be the best choice? And I definitely am looking at Bianco as that potential player. And when you look at the buys, basically, that's giving me the answer. You've got Ned Reeves, who you can pick up buy free after this round, so pre-round 13. You can bring in Coleman Jones after his buy in round 13, so pre-round 14. But because Bianco has a round 14 buy, you actually have to trade him in prior to the round 13 game, because he'll go up in price after that round 13 game, which means that you have to bite the bullet before his buy. So if you're going to bring in a player like that, and it's going to happen during the buys anyway, then actually going a week early on him, if you're going to trade into him anyway, just gives you an extra potential score on field this week. So there's no reason why you can't bring Bianco in early. In fact, you probably should, as long as that player that you're looking to trade out is worse for your buys or is, you know, a suitable downgrade candidate this week. So I'm looking at maybe a Matt Flynn down to him and doing some DPP to move some players around. No issues with downgrading early during this period, especially, you know, more to Faz's original point. If the job security is sound, then nothing really sort of stopping you. All right, we had some questions around the buys, which we might go to next. This one's from Ben Starr from Facebook. During the buy rounds, as an average, what is the norm? A normal amount of premiums to be fielding out of your 18 scoring players? Just wanted to answer that one quickly because we had a few questions in terms of what good looks like. So if you imagine you're pretty close to finishing your team at the moment, let's say you had 21 premiums. Your premiums are going to play two out of the next three games, or all your players are going to play two out of the next three games, which means that if you have 21 premiums, you should be missing on average 7 a week. So if you can have about 14 premiums playing each week, and then the last four being rookies. That's probably gives you your best bet at trying to push the poor rookie scores off field and giving you a good balance of your premiums and your rookies across the 3 weeks versus having an overload of premiums 1 week, wasting some of them on a bench spot. And then having to over-rely on rookies in one particular week. But the number, I guess, if you were to even them perfectly, would be about 14, 15 per week. Part two of his question was, for people with a low amount of trades left, he has 11 trades only at the start of the round. Does this round seem to be a good one to sit on your hands slash save some trades? Fitzroy, what do you reckon about that? Sat on your hands previously at this point in the season, and what would the trade boundary be for you to think about being a bit more conservative?
Yeah, I think if you don't have many trades left, the first week of buys might be a good one. But once again, it depends on who you've got playing over those weeks. And certainly that idea of having 14 premiums might be that average, but we all know that people might have certain selections in 1 week more so than the other. 11 trades doesn't give you a lot, and I guess if you're looking at probably wanting to preserve, 4 to 6 on the run home to cover any injuries or a late upgrade or a late swap that you want to do for a returning player like a Dangerfield, then definitely that first week, you might go, look, we'll try to avoid using trades in that time, and then trying to use your upgrades around bringing in players from that round 12 bye in the following weeks, such as round 13, round 14. You bring in, maybe Geelong premiums or Tom Mitchell or someone like that from Hawthorn to replace those players that were going out on a bye. So that would probably be a solid strategy. In terms of if you trade players in who are going to have their bye in that round, I think if you're doing that, you probably want to have a few more trades up your sleeve. As Faz said before, mapping out the trades you're going to make, having a look at how many players are going to be on field, but also factoring in if you've got some rookies, they may not actually play as well, depending on who the selections are. If they get dropped or need to be managed for a week because they're younger bodies or something like that, then you probably also need to take one or two players off of that list just to factor in trying to field your best 18. I think there's a few different things to consider there.
Spoken like a true veteran there, Fitzroy. There was a lot of very good vectors, I guess, or angles to make your decision on this week versus giving a blanket yes or no. Faz, any additional thoughts that add to that?
Yeah, I think that's a great point that Fitzroy brought up about, when you're counting your players, there's a difference between Jack Steele being available or a Finley McRae being available. Players that are your high Moores, McRae's, players that are culprits to be the sub or put in a really low score, you can almost discount them when you're counting up how many players you have available. So I think that's an important part of it too. The only other wrinkle I'd put in is looking at what you might be doing before round 13, because we've got the three trades available for that buy round, that to me looks like a good opportunity to do a double upgrade. So you can go two up with one downgrade, but what you're probably going to require in order to do that is a bit of cash in bank. So that's where I might be looking at an option to do a downgrade involving a Bianco or someone like that this week, just to give myself that buffer of cash to then be able to go in and do two upgrades that are coming off the round 12 buy.
So just to finish off for the week, I thought I might check in with you gents in terms of any top trade-in candidates that you might want to nominate. So this week, there's nobody buy free, so there's nobody that particularly stands out in terms of you should trade them in this week, whereas next week, we'll be talking about Lachie Whitfield off the buy or whatever. Faz, I might throw to you first. Is there anybody who you might want to call out?
Yeah, Aaron Hall's one that I'm looking at. I know that I'm very much late to the party there, but he's playing such a lucrative role down back. We've seen Zeebel scoring drop away a bit with the amount of ball that Hall's racking up down there. He's one that I'm looking at quite closely, so this week, it's probably between Whitfield or Hall, just leaning towards Hall because I think Zeebel's my only other buy player in the forward line. So I can bring in Hall, hide him on the bench, and still probably get a best 22 to cut down to 18 this week.
How about yourself, Fitzroy? Any good buys that you want to spruik for the week?
Well, I think I'm probably going to be slightly late, but getting onto the Heaney train, I think, is still pretty cheap. considering what he could do. You know, we all know that it's difficult to select forward premiums this year, and I think, you know, it's that philosophy of buy low, sell high. He's not as low as he was, but he's still fairly low. Even if you get a couple of really good scores out of him and you have to trade him out because he's injured, he might give you a springboard to get Dangerfield later in the year or someone like that. He seems to be a good selection at the moment. He's going to have his buy. But it's pretty hard to go past, I think, if you actually really want to trade a premium in this week.
I'm going to call out Zach Merritt. 64 was his poor score in round 9 against Frio, which means after 117 and 119 against North and West Coast in the last two rounds, he's officially bottomed out. He's now at 541.8K with a break-even of 89. Shai Bolton is back from injury. If anyone's looking toward top-end potential in terms of the forward line, probably worth calling him out as well. So those two would probably be my call-outs for the week. Why don't we finish off with a quick captain's corner before we wrap up the show? Faz, who are you looking at for your captain this week?
The old Grundy-Gorn combination is not really an option this week. I guess we do have the advantage for anyone who's not aware, anyone who's on the bye this week, they effectively are a donut that you can move around the field and make any changes right up until the last game. So you can make any of your bye players the captain this week. And so you've effectively got open slather when it comes to your captaincy selections. Melbourne v Brisbane is the first game of the week, so if I had Clayton Oliver, I'd probably be looking towards him. For myself, I'll probably put the V on Max Gorn. And then it is a trip over to Optus Stadium for the Bulldogs, but probably Jack McRae. He's in some great form right now. He's one that I'd be looking at as the backup with the captaincy.
How about yourself, Fitzroy? Who are you looking at for your captaincy options?
Yeah, I'll probably go something similar with VC from the first game. I've got Gorn, Oliver, Zorko that I could probably look at. And then the final game will be my captain. I'll probably have Bontempelli there, but other people will have McRae or possibly Fife, who could also be a good option. I don't know. There could be maybe some people might want to take a risk on Sam Walsh up against West Coast. Looked promising the last couple of weeks, but not quite got there for various reasons with a massive score. So I'm hoping I've got him. I'm hoping he'll put out a massive one, but I won't be putting the C on him or the VC, but there might be someone who wants to take a risk and put it on him. But I'll probably go safe with something like Gorn and Bontempelli, I think.
Oliver is probably my number one VC candidate. His last three against Brisbane, 146, 103. And then last year in round 8, he scored 177 against Brisbane. I know not a heap of people have Darcy Parrish, but Parrish is in ridiculous form. His last three games, 134, 152, 136. Sam Walsh, I do like your suggestion there against West Coast. Rory Laird is probably worth mentioning as well as a backup. Playing Collingwood this week against Collingwood last year was when Rory Laird scored his 185. I do like the backup of McRae and Bontempelli traditionally. Bontempelli, I think, probably has to stand out as the backup over McRae this week, just because against Frio, Bont has a slightly better history. 107, 95 and 132, his last three scores against Frio. And McRae, Frio is actually one of his potentially more bogey sides. He scored 85 and 85 in two of his last three games of Frio. All right, and with that, we're going to wrap up for the week's show. I want to give out a big shout-out for your debut performance on the Supercoach Coach podcast. You did really well, Fitzroy, and maybe worthy of a follow-up, even if you don't win the weekly again, eh?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to come back on. It was a good bit of fun, so thanks for having me on. It's been really really enjoyable, and hopefully I didn't sound like too much of an idiot to all the more mates who are out there probably listening, so they get to see my ugly face on the video.
Oh, well done, mate, and great to have you back on. Faz, any finishing words for as we head into the buys?
Well, first of all, just go the Roys. It's great to see some Fitzroy fans still out there, and yeah, just good luck to everyone. I think it's really, you know, treat the next 3 weeks as a big block and don't oversell for 1 week. it might be the case that whatever trades you make, you're going to be stuck with 17 players in round 13 or round 14. That might be just the way it goes. I don't think you want to be side-swapping one of your better players just to cover that one donut there. Try as much as possible to think about it now. Don't wait until Thursday before round 14 and then do the count then and realize, as I'm currently doing right now, that I've got a few trades to make to fill up some holes in round 14.
I think some sound advice there, Faz. All right, and with that, we'll sign off for the week. All the best for the buys. It is very exciting to see how things shake out. Thanks for tuning in again, and we'll catch you after the first week. See ya.
Thanks, lads.
See you, everyone.